You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Have you cut yourself off from the blessings God wants to give you?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Almighty and all-merciful God, through your living word, the entire world was created. Through it, you have communicated your will and message of your love and grace to all men. Gracious Father, it is now obvious that in this generation, there is a growing disinterest in reading, studying, and hearing your word as it is preached. Through your love and grace, move the hearts of thousands who are listening today to see the countless blessings available through your word. Through your Holy Spirit, empower the preaching of your word. Let the central message always be clear. The life-giving message that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for the sins of all men. Lord, help everyone listening today to understand that through faith, they can be absolutely sure that their sins are forgiven and that Jesus is now preparing for them a place in heaven. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Surprising information was recently made available by the Princeton Religion Research Center. This information has now exposed America's real attitude toward worshiping the Lord. According to those conducting the research, Sunday is a very special day for 73% of all Americans. The shocking information revealed, however, that only 20% find Sunday important as the Lord's Day. People are enjoying Sunday as never before. Today, however, it is almost totally man-centered. A similar lifestyle is also now evident throughout much of Canada. Those conducting the research pointed out that one-third of all Americans are taking pleasure trips in their cars on Sunday. They are not going any place in particular. They are just driving around. 20% go shopping. Over 30% devote their Sundays almost exclusively to watching football and other sports events on television. For many years, one day each week has been known as the Lord's Day. Recent weekend activities, however, indicate that the name the Lord's Day is no longer appropriate. Because one day each week is now being virtually taken over by man-centered activities, honesty alone should lead us to change the name of the Lord's Day to Man's Day. Instead of reserving one day each week for worshiping the Lord and for reading and studying His Word, an increasing number of people are now reserving this day for themselves. The increasing ungodly abuse of the Lord's Day represents a blatant disrespect for our Lord and His Word. The importance our Lord Himself placed on having one day reserved for worshiping Him and for hearing and studying His Word cannot be overemphasized. So important is this that our Lord Himself stated His will clearly in the Ten Commandments. He said, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you." Giving this commandment was one of the most loving things our Heavenly Father has ever done. He understands our constant need to be cleansed. He knows we need encouragement received through hearing and studying His Word. He realizes how weak our faith can become. He is fully aware that our souls need to be refreshed on a regular basis. Our spiritual batteries need to be recharged by the living Word of God. In a world of continuous problems, unending frustrations, and new challenges, our souls need and even deeply desire the constant assurance of the comforting and consoling Word of God. In a society where people's lives are being constantly crippled by guilt, the gospel of forgiveness, made available through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, is the only hope. Setting aside one day each week to meditate on the love of God in Christ Jesus is like arriving at an oasis in the middle of a desert. Our Lord promises great blessings to all who hear and study His Word. Because of this beautiful promise, let me strongly encourage you today to receive the blessings of God's powerful Word. The Bible is the Word of God. This Word becomes a powerful and personal message to all who read, study, or hear it preached. This life-giving Word has the power to encourage you when you are frustrated. It has the power to lift you up when you are in despair. It has the power to cleanse you from sin. It has the power to give you a new and clear conscience. The Word of God has the power to give you a new life today and the assurance of life eternal when you die. Listen to one of the most beautiful promises of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." In spite of these beautiful promises of God recorded in the Bible, many today find no time for reading or studying the Word of God. In spite of the fact that the promises of the Bible provide the only totally reliable hope in this life, many today find the Word of God uninteresting and without meaning when it is preached and taught. How sad it is that there are those today for whom the preaching of the Word of God is boring and meaningless. The tragedy of this is made clear by a story I read not long ago. There once was a man who had acquired tremendous wealth, millions of dollars. When he died, he left a will. There were three children in the family. It was soon learned, however, that the inheritance was to be given to only two of them. One was to be left out. Naturally, of course, the three children soon became very concerned. They could hardly eat or sleep. They each hoped that they would be included in the will. Deep down in their hearts, however, they also feared that they might be the one left out. Finally, the day for the reading of the will arrived. The three children gathered in the old courtroom. When the judge read the will, the children listened with close attention. They wanted to hear everything that was said. They did not want to miss one word. The judge had a very poor voice. For many today, it would even sound boring. This made absolutely no difference to the children. They were interested in the message. They were interested in the words. They knew their present life and also their future depended on that message. That is the way it should be when we go to church. The preacher may not have the best voice, but the message he preaches from the Bible is God's message to us. We should be eager to hear it. Our present life and our life after death depends on that message. Some of you who are listening may believe I have overstated the case that many today would sooner do other things on the Lord's Day than listen to and study His Word. Evidence indicates the contrary. The phenomenon is now so widespread that business and leisure industries in the United States and Canada have even adjusted their business hours to take advantage of the new trend. According to Business Week magazine, the results of this new trend in some areas is absolutely incredible. One store owner in San Francisco said, "Sunday sales are good, if not better, than any other period during the week." Perhaps no element of society has taken more advantage of the Lord's Day than commercialized sports. Driven by their unquenchable lust for wealth, promoters and even sports personalities have become the high priests of the weekend. Millions now look to them for their inspiration and entertainment during the Lord's Day and for the coming week. Countless legal battles are now being waged in court to force businesses to remain closed on Sunday. Other efforts are also being made to curtail commercialized leisure activities on weekends. While these efforts are certainly well-intended, they will have little or no effect on the basic problem. The problem is simply this. Evidence indicates that people are less and less interested in listening to the word of the Lord proclaimed publicly. The problem is simply this. Evidence indicates that people are less and less interested in listening to the word of the Lord proclaimed publicly. Personal Bible study by families on the Lord's Day has become almost unheard of. A public opinion poll some years ago indicated that not more than one person in ten reads the Bible regularly. A recent Wall Street Journal article quoted a well-known religious writer who said, "Do not be deceived by the number of Bibles being bought. I can tell you where they are. They are on the shelf of some cupboard, untouched." It is sad but true that most Bibles are not being read. Many are used today for bookends, table decorations, places to press flowers, and places to keep news clippings. Business and other commercial ventures operating on the Lord's Day must never be held totally to blame for the current abuse of the Lord's Day. They are only taking advantage of a trend which already exists. It is indeed sad that countless millions insulate themselves from the grace of God. God's love and grace, His transforming and life-giving power, is available and totally free through His living Word. Perhaps even you, as you listen today, realize in your heart that you have closed the door on God. You have prevented Him from living in your heart by faith. You have prevented Him from changing you into the happy, fulfilled, gracious, forgiving, and loving person He wants you to be. By the power of the Holy Spirit, and by the power that the Word of God itself supplies, accept God's grace. Let His living Word change you. It has this almighty life-transforming ability, as described in 1 Peter chapter 1, which states, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." The Word of God will create in you a vibrant and living faith, a faith which will give your life new meaning, a faith which will help you with any problem or difficulty that you may now be facing, a faith which will assure you that God loves you no matter who you are, that He cares for you, no matter what your previous life has been. A faith which will assure you that all sins of your past, which may be bothering you, have been completely and totally forgiven. These and many more blessings, too numerous to count, are a direct result of God's gracious Word. His living Word is the spring of living water, giving abundant life and life eternal to all who drink of it. Don't delay. Don't wait another day. Don't cut yourself off. Take advantage of every opportunity to read, study, and meditate on God's life-giving Word. Take advantage of the many free blessings His Word offers. Across the United States and Canada stand countless thousands of old churches. Many have been made historical landmarks. Each church represents the faith and religious life of many of our forefathers. They represent places where people once gathered to listen to the Word of God as it was preached, and to diligently read and study it. Those who immigrated to the United States and Canada frequently did so for religious freedom. They reverenced the Lord and His Word. When they arrived, they worshiped in each other's homes. As soon as possible, they built houses of worship. For them, the Lord's Day was extremely important. They considered a place to read, study, and listen to the Word of God as the most important thing in their life. One of the earliest acts of Congress was to approve the printing of a large edition of the Bible. The Congress even went so far as to officially recommend that every citizen read it. George Washington set a lasting precedent by taking his oath of office with his hand on the Bible. The Liberty Bell in Independence Hall is inscribed with the words from the Bible which state, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof. How different things have become today. If our pioneering forefathers would have had the attitude so prevalent today, they would have never built churches and houses of worship. They would have built sports arenas and coliseums. They would have constructed amusement parks and shopping centers. They would have placed their own interests first before their Lord. Most people are aware that they should listen to the Word of God as it is preached, and they realize they should read and study their Bibles. Perhaps you can identify with this feeling. Perhaps you also realize that in all honesty, you do not really care to listen to the Word of God as it is preached and taught. For some reason, you do not have the desire to read and study the Bible. Knowing what God expects of you, and at the same time, realizing that this is not what you honestly care to do, can be very disturbing. It can easily lead to a feeling of terrible helplessness, hopelessness, and even total despair. If this is how you feel, don't despair. There is an answer. When a newborn baby begins to drink its mother's milk, this milk stimulates a desire for more. Even though the child has had no previous appetite, the milk itself triggers a desire for further nourishment. The milk also strengthens and builds the small, frail body. The Word of God works the same way. We may have no desire to read and study the Bible. However, when we begin to listen and to meditate on this life-giving Word, the Word itself triggers within us an appetite. As it does, it also strengthens and builds our frail spiritual bodies. Don't delay. Don't wait another day. Read the Bible. If you presently do not own one, ask a friend to loan you one, or go to a local bookstore. Take part in Bible studies. Begin personal and family devotions. As you read, study, and listen to the Word of God, great changes will take place in your life. Countless thousands of people can testify to this. I urge you today, in the strongest possible way, attend church or a house of worship where the true Word of God is being preached. It will change your life in a positive way. It will recharge your spiritual batteries. Reading a good book or going to a good movie can be exciting and even emotionally moving. But hearing, studying, and meditating on the Word of God can do much more. In addition to the emotional experience, the Word of God itself has the power to encourage you if you are despairing. It has the power to strengthen the weak and to uplift the downhearted. Listen to the powerful words of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." Most of us are willing and even desire to eat food 3 times each day. Without such nourishment, we would soon become weak and eventually die. How much more should we be willing to nourish our spiritual bodies on the Word of God, the bread of life? Amen. Let us bow our heads in prayer. O most holy and gracious Lord, not because we have deserved it, but out of your love and grace, you have given us your living word. Through reading and studying the Bible, we have access to the countless blessings available through it. Heavenly Father, for meaning and fulfillment in our present life, and for the assurance of being with you eternally in paradise, move us to a new appreciation for use of your word. Help us all to understand that through the word we may come to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the center and goal of our faith. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your own life, may we suggest that you share the cassette with others. This cassette service is a special ministry of the Media Programs Department of the International Lutheran Layman's League.